Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming from a basement to your headphones, barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown in a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get without the surf, cause I'm chilling in the
Welcome back to another season of the podcast, Theanos. I, of course, am Jordan Hall, and I'm joined, as always, by a man who's just awoken from his winter hibernation. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, how have you been?
I'm stretching. You know, I'm hairy. I'm disoriented. I'm scratching myself. Just coming back to life, you know?
So
winter.
So you're a human bear.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So my kids have had like 1,000 days off school. The weather is terrible. It's almost hard to think about spring, isn't it?
I don't know. My wife actually just bought some tulips today. So that kind of made me think of spring. I don't know.
Tulips. It sounds like a lot of work. You're going to put them in the ground now or what?
No, they go in a vase. And anyway, it wouldn't be work for me.
Not like tulip bulbs. You bought like actual
flowers. Yeah.
Well, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. No, I'm not buying flowers to put in the ground. Who has time for that? And then the turkeys come and they just eat them.
Hollanders, Dutch people.
Yeah.
Stupid turkeys. They're filthy in my backyard. Stupid turkeys.
We're under a minute into the new season and the turkeys already have more mentions than the Detroit Tigers.
You know, the turkeys might be as good as the Tigers this year.
That's true.
Not gonna lie.
What has been your winter highlight? It's been like 5 months since the last time we recorded. Has anything new happened with you? The listeners, they want to know.
Well, I got to see you. You came down to GR. That's a highlight of anyone's life.
I'm touched.
Yeah. I did some downhill snow skiing, which is one of my favorite hobbies.
Something you do regularly. Okay. So this isn't like a first time at it.
No, I'm a mediumly accomplished skier, downhill skier. You wouldn't guess that by looking at me.
No,
I know how to ski.
You look more like a bunny hill type. No disrespect.
No. Disrespect taken. Come on now. So, I like to downhill ski. You did some of that.
It's funny. I actually have a winter sports story too. I went curling on Saturday.
Yes, tell us
it
more
is
about
the most,
this.
Most random thing. So one of the I have a friend who's very into curling, and his wife set up a birthday party at a curling club, which was literally halfway across the state. It was in Lewiston, which I did not know existed until this party. So there's like a gas station there, a burger place, and a curling club, just as there is.
The facility looked quaint.
There was two lanes. There was two lanes. And this is obviously more Sussman's, his genre than us. But it's so much further than it looks. That was kind of my big takeaway. Like, when, you know, I watched on the Olympics a couple times. Right. It is so far. Like, how anybody can throw the rock or the stone, whatever, with any sort of accuracy is just beyond me. It's nuts.
It was difficult for you.
Yes. And I'm not to toot my own horn, but I'm a relatively coordinated athletic dude. And it was just a whole nother world.
Yes, you're a stallion for sure. Everybody knows that.
Everyone knows that. But the thing that I found interesting was the sweeping. Like, everyone knows sweep, 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 whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I did it, and I've had other people sweep for my stones. I'm not entirely convinced that it actually does anything. I think they were just like, all right, what can we do to keep everyone else that's not shooting right now from getting bored? Why don't you guys like I don't know sweep the ice? Like, you guys could do that, and I think it just caught on from there.
It's like a placebo. You think you're helping?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, definitely.
Did you fall? The important question to me is, did you fall on your rump?
I wouldn't say that I like fell on my rump. It was more so you're kind of low when you release it, so it was more just kind of like a tipping over as opposed to a falling. But I mean, definitely ended up on the ice as far as that goes.
Have you ever done foaling, the football bowling thing? I did that this winter as well.
Interesting. Explain that to us.
So they set up. So there's two. There's one in Grand Rapids. It actually originated on the east side of the state, and it's called the Foaling Warehouse. And it's a bar. It's an excuse to go and drink with your buddies. But you set up these 10 pins, and then you throw a football at them to try to knock them down.
That sounds way easier than actual bowling. There's no way I couldn't knock down 10 pins with throwing a football.
Oh, there is a way. There is definitely a way you can fail to do that. It takes a little while.
Interesting.
You should check it out.
Yeah.
That was fun too.
So our buddy Keenan at Tigers_lifer asks us, more likely to win an Olympic gold medal or a world championship, you as in you in disc golf or me in curling? Which I thought that was an interesting one.
Ooh, yeah.
I mean, you have a little bit more practice with the disc golf. But I don't know. I put two of my five shots right into the house. So, I mean, that's pretty good for a starter.
The answer is definitely you winning a gold in curling. Because the disc golf, okay, the world champion disc golfers or anybody in the top 50 in the world is throwing the disc 500 feet, 450 for sure, probably 500 to 600 feet tops. I can throw on a good day maybe 380.
Man,
375.
I thought you were stronger than that.
No,
I might have to relook into who I'm doing this podcast with. I need somebody that can at least put up 400.
It's weak sauce.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that the ice is far, but you can at least get it there every time. So I feel like we're pressed. Yeah, definitely you.
Okay. So let's jump right into this week's leadoff question. What is your most memorable birthday or birthday-related experience?
Now, I feel like you should give some context to this, Hall.
I'm going to. Mine is the story that this is related upon. Yeah.
Okay. So me first.
Yeah, you first, of course.
So this is a cautionary tale to all the youths out there.
I feel like we can all tell where this is going.
If you're a young adult listening to this, or a teen, let Papa Wayne tell you a story, okay? Gather around. So I was young in my business and I had a really good year and I was kind of brimming with bravado and just hubris. And I'm like, I am going to buy a new truck.
Oh, that's not where I thought this was going.
So no, it's not going there. I went to the local dealership. And there was a little bit of a tax break, and I'm kind of puffing out my chest. Oh, I had a good year. This is going to be great. I picked out a brand new Chevy crew cab pickup truck. And I had some down payment, but I signed my name on the loan and borrowed a bunch of money. And on my birthday, I picked it up, and it was a brand new off the dealership lot pickup truck. And I thought it was pretty big stuff. And it was fine. You know, I made, but I had payments on it. And I'm making a huge payment on this thing all the time. And, in my subsequent months and years, not as good. And this thing became a burden.
Was this pre or post Mrs. Wayne? I'm curious where she factored into this.
Post Mrs. Wayne, but pre-children.
Okay. All right.
So she was kind of going along for the ride. And so it was a fine thing, but I will never buy a new off the lot vehicle again. It was just a poor investment, but I was young, but I still remember my birthday going to dinner and pulling up to the restaurant in my brand new truck. I felt like pretty boss.
So that was what, like your 64th birthday?
Laugh it up.
So the reason I asked this question is on the 6th, what was that, last Wednesday, I turned 30. Now you can laugh at me. I too am now officially old. But like That's Eric right. said, we met up in Grand Rapids. Whitney and I did a bit of a Grand Rapids coffee crawl, which I don't know if that's a thing, but it's what I drink. So that's what we it's did. Met up with you, which was very nice. You gave me an extremely well decorated gift. Something that'll forever hold near and dear to my heart. Saw the Blue Bridge, obviously, went to Hopcat once again, obviously. It was a good birthday. It was something worthy of turning the next full number. And obviously I like when, you know, it's a round number. So that obviously helps. Yeah.
Yay. Happy birthday, all.
Thanks. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can on Twitter. I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. Facebook.com/podcastianos, and we'd love it if you'd take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And it's been 5 months since the last time I said that, and I still didn't even have to look at my notes. I've said it enough times. It's just second nature at this point.
It's like a drop. It's a drop of sweet nectar on the tongue. enlivens the senses once more.
Exactly.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So it's been a full 5 months since the last time we recorded an episode, and shockingly, almost nothing has changed. Rod and Mario are gone, but that's pretty much the big difference between right now and the end of the season.
Right. There's been just as much or more excitement in the booth, I feel safe saying, than on the field almost.
Yeah, yes? at least been some intrigue. Who are they going to go with? What's going to happen?
It's been some soap opera stuff with that relationship and who did what, and, you know, Rod kind of blaming the media that wasn't accurate, but not really deny. So there's been a little bit of intrigue there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic move. I think it's interesting that the media is blaming fellow media. Like, I don't know. Typically, you assume that's an on the field type of move, but.
Rod tried to diminish and deflect, but not really deny.
Yeah.
You can kind of see what I'm thinking here. And that is, I'm mostly Team Mario. I feel like Rod was out of line for, initiating this physical altercation.
Yeah. I feel like, I don't know. I would love to have done a show right after, so we could have gotten our hot takes in there. I don't necessarily have any takes left. I'm bummed that Mario's gone. It's going to be an interesting booth this year. We'll just put it that way.
Maybe we'll set aside some time to talk about if we're pleased with the new
wherever
recruits.
Will we find time this time of year to talk about such silly things? But before we jump too much into spring training and some of the storylines entering camp, why don't we take a step back and kind of examine the overall state and health of the organization. So I was thinking about it. I got the oil change this morning, so I had some time in the waiting room. Like, the plan right now is relatively straightforward. We're going to suck for a while. We're going to dump a ton of payroll. We're going to blood some of the youngsters and stock the lower levels of the system. And then in 2021, start to spend. I mean, that's pretty much where we're at, right?
Yeah, I think so. However, I mean, there is this thought that rebuilds are not slam dunks. Rebuilds can be from a set timeline to a perpetual rebuild situation pretty fast. And teams can get into perpetual rebuild situations where they simply fail to start spending some money. Mm-hmm. And getting key people. The argument against the perpetual rebuild fear is to get a couple good free agents now, like we did with Maglio, like we did with Pudge, and use that to spark the regeneration process.
Yes.
That thought, coupled with some changing wisdom around free agents and how a lot of free agents are getting frozen out of the market. And there's some whispers that owners are simply colluding to not sign good quality players for what they would have gotten in years past.
And I very much buy that.
There's certainly that dynamic at play.
I don't know. I mean, this extends to Harper and Machado. I don't understand how there any other explanation for what's happening other than a kind of wink, wink, nod, nod. We're driving these crazy, you know, contract prices back down. But that's for a different show. So just in general, the way that we are, this was your phrasing, the way that we're approaching the rebuild. Do you think that we're being smart or that we're being cheap?
I get that we're trying to be smart, and that we're being sold this, trust the process line, mm-hmm. right? Oh yeah, we got to get bad and get those high draft picks before we can be good. And that will work for a little while when you're selling off players and, you know, trying to get draft picks, farm and all that stuff. That'll work for a little while, but I get a little ornery. If we're going to be on this 4, 5, 6, 7 year rebuilding cycle where the rest of the league isn't talking about the Tigers, we're not relevant to the competitive conversation. I get a little ornery with that. And that can brains can turn into thriftiness really fast, in my estimation.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, it was about this time last year, maybe a little later in the year, you were talking about how the new market inefficiency is the 1 to 3 war players
that are Tokar's just big on this.
That are just getting completely overlooked. I don't understand why we have literally nobody to play second base while DJ LeMahieu signed a relatively inexpensive contract. Even Neil Walker signed for a decent amount, Ezdrubal Cabrera, Daniel Murphy. Like, there are lots of guys that would have made us – they're not going to make us, you know, not contenders for a top draft pick, but they would just make us a little bit fun to watch maybe. You know what I mean? Like, it's right. And Adam Jones still sits out there. You know, we could have Adam Jones playing center field for us. It wouldn't cost us an arm and a leg, and he is a pretty good player.
Right. Well, the players are suggesting that teams aren't trying to get better.
Yeah.
And honestly, they aren't.
Verlander tweeted that. What was it? Was that today?
Yeah.
That he went on that rant?
Today, yeah.
And even for the internet, the responses to that tweet were mind-bendingly stupid. But once again, that's a very different show.
I think rank and file fan Joe Fan out there tends to be on the side of their team naturally, which generally means on the side of their owner. Yeah. So they think of thriftiness as value because they see it from the team's perspective, where, you know, in other circumstances, you would be on the side of labor.
Yeah, of course.
But in this case, labor, there's a lot of zeros behind it. So you don't tend to think that way right away.
Yeah,
so at least most fans don't.
So I guess where I come in on the whole smart and cheap thing is I don't necessarily think that we're currently doing anything specifically dumb, but we are certainly doing our rebuild in a completely unimaginative way. Take the Astros, for example. When they, you know, completely tore it down to the ground, they ended up with guys like Evan Gattis, Marwin Gonzalez, Yuli Gurriel, right. Some of these guys that they had in place for when Bregman and Correa and some of these guys broke in. They're like, okay, so there's a foundation to build on, and we can go from there. They didn't just get up, you know, Manning and Fieto and Burroughs and Franklin Perez and think, okay, now let's go. You know, that wasn't their MO. And I kind of feel like that's where Avila has us going. And I don't know. It's not my favorite idea in the world.
Yeah. I mean, you just can't race to the bottom. You know, in fact, I'm seeing some of this stuff with the Pistons. I know on basketball is different, but there's no pride in sucking.
No.
To me, there's not. if you want to take, you know, same thing with the Lions. Oh, we should go. Oh, here we go for a draft pick again. You know why you're excited about a draft? You get excited about draft picks, high draft picks, when your team stinks, and that gets old. I stop stinking. Try to be good. You play to win the game, in the words of Herm Edwards, right?
Yeah, and the thing with tanking in baseball is it's not like you're going to get the number one pick and there's a slam dunk Zion Williamson that, like, slam dunk. That was actually a really good one. Boom tish. That's immediately going to come in and help you. That is a finished product that you will plug and play and will be awesome. The difference between 1 and 15, like, you know, sometimes there is a, you know, Bryce Harper out there. Most of the time there's a Casey Mize who's safe and probably a good choice at number one. You know what I mean? Like,
there's just far less certainty in baseball.
Yeah, it just doesn't connect for me. Like, there's there's in football, in basketball, there isn't necessarily a ton of point to being mediocre. In baseball, like, if we're picking 14 and we just barely miss out on the playoffs, that's way better than picking fourth and having no interest after, you know, May 15th. But I guess that's just me. Okay, so that is front awful approval rating as of right now for you.
Front office approval rating?
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I'm a little, every once in a while I see something that concerns me. Like, there was an article, I think, I can't say who wrote it. It was on Bless You Boys about how the Tigers are concerned about strikeouts. And Avila had a quote, and Gardenhire had a quote. Oh, yeah, we need to do better on our two-strike approach and make more contact and all that stuff. And that's not where the rest of the league is. The rest of the league is, hey, we're going to beat this shift and beat this thing by hitting a bunch of home runs.
Yeah.
We're going to put more power if we strike out. Eh, so be it. And that's just kind of more the choke up and make contact is kind of old school thinking. And, like, we need to get smart with our approach and our attitude up and down the organization.
Yeah, it's not even smart. It's just kind of modern and up to date. Like, I don't necessarily think that it's all that revolutionary that we need to, you know, go research. Just look at what everyone else is doing and do that, and we'll be on at least a similar playing field. So I have a tweet here. It's from @ComericEric from today. He tweets, according to hashtags #Zip19, because you obviously wanted to get in on that sweet, sweet Zips chatter. Tigers produce twice as much war as their projections at every position, they are still over 13 games worse than the Red Sox normal production. I tweeted to you, is that bad? And the answer seemed to be yes.
Yeah, that's bad. So, I thought, well, you know, what do the experts know about these predictions? You know, what if each player was twice as good as they predict? What, you know, we'd win a World Series, right? Not necessarily. Funny thing is, we were better at the corner infield positions than the Red Sox. I'm just using the Red Sox for funsies. Every place else we were worse.
I very much believe that.
So, we have a long ways to go. We've sold off a lot of pieces, and it's going to be a slow climb. But we need some incremental improvements. Ugh.
Yeah, and if you look at the roster, I mean, we'll obviously get to this more in the coming weeks. But if you look at the roster right now, who do you see that you're like, okay, this year they could show promise? Like, you have Jamer and you have Stewart.
Yeah, I was gonna say Candelario.
That's it. I mean, some of the, you know,
Stewart. No.
Fulmer could take another step forward, or even just a step back to where he was.
Jacoby Jones.
I mean, he is a candidate for that, but I mean, is there any indication he's going to?
No, not really.
I guess Norris would be another candidate, but
Norris would be that's for sure Norris.
Okay, so it is February 11th. Pitchers and catchers report tomorrow. And realistically, all of you listening, it's probably today. You know, you'll be seeing videos of stretching and bullpens. And so let's run down the four biggest storylines that I came up with while sitting in the oil change waiting room as we're going into camp. Are you ready? I put these in a Letterman style countdown. Number four.
All right, let's do it.
Is 6 into 5. We write on the big league roster. We have 6 realistic candidates for 5 starting pitching spots.
Yep.
Obviously, based on the 6 names, they're not all going to be healthy at the same time. But are right. any? So if you take 6 and turn them into one meld of 5, is our rotation going to be any good?
No. Okay, so who do you of these 3 names, who do you have the most confidence in? Boyd, Fulmer, Zimmerman. Those are our big 3. Who do you have the most confidence in?
I mean, obviously Fulmer. Anytime that he's healthy, he's going to go out there and take the ball and probably give you 6 innings.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not, based on last year.
I'm seeing pictures of him. He's got a knee brace on, and I'm just thinking, oh boy, I wonder
okay,
how this
so,
is going to go.
Gotcha. I thought we were talking when healthy. You're talking just current condition.
Yeah, I mean, opening day comes and our first trip through the rotation. Who are you most trusting?
I guess Fulmer. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, realistically, you look at the 6. The only person that has a chance at making 35 starts is Boyd. Like there's literal zero chance that any of the rest of them do that. Which
Correct.
Is why you have 6. I mean, I titled it 6 into 5, but we essentially right. have 6 that, you know, combined could make the amount of starts that 5 normally would. Tigers fan mags, Adam Langworthy asks, will Daniel Norris get a chance to stick at in the rotation this year?
I said this before and I was wrong before, but yeah, he absolutely. You just got to plug him in there and tell him, hey, you're going to get 2 months here. We're not going to take you out. No matter how many bad starts you have, we're going to see once what you can do. And here's your spot. Right. I mean,
but
I thought that previously, and then they bump him around and he's, you know, I don't know.
But here's the thing. Like, why do you sign Tyson Ross and Matt Moore if that's the plan? They had to have been given some sort of indication that, hey, you're going to come in as a starter, or else they would have tried to revive their career elsewhere. I don't understand why you wouldn't use Norris in that role and just let it ride with him until he either sinks or swims. But I think he is the odd man out, at least until, you know, the first injury.
Man, he just seems like so much promise and then now a bullpen piece. I mean, to me, I think you still have to see once what you have with him.
Oh,
but
absolutely. We're definitely on the same page. I just don't think that's going to happen until there's an injury, which inevitably there will be, probably before the spring is over. Very disappointed that they completely took away all the chances at starts from Blaine. That's more of a joke.
Stop it.
I mean, Blaine's still going to make some starts this year. So let's talk about Zimmerman a little bit before we move on. He ended the year halfway decent. He's your ultimate when healthy. He's probably not going to be terrible. What right. kind of confidence do you have in him going into 2019?
Not a ton. I mean, his floor is higher, if that makes sense, than almost everybody, I would say. He's very workmanlike, I would say. He's powered through kind of the injuries he's had. But he doesn't have that elite zip anymore. He doesn't have that wow factor, but he's got a pretty high floor. I mean, I think he's going to be workmanlike.
Yeah. I feel like for him at this point, if everything goes according to plan, he's going to be a slightly above league average starting pitcher. Like that's kind of the, that's what we're hoping for from him. And honestly, at this point, that would probably be getting as much money back on that contract as we could hope for.
He's making a lot of money, and we need him to eat up a lot of innings the best he can. I mean, you hate to say that, but hey,
but
we're paying you. Pitch a lot. Here you go, friend. Yep.
And one more thing before we move on. I really like the Tyson Ross signing. I think that the dude can pitch. He was in demand.
Oh, no. He's doomed now.
That's probably true. Sorry, Ty. That one's on me. But no, he has good stuff. He's had good stuff for a long time. With him, it's all about health. He was rolling early in the season before, I want to say maybe a shoulder injury or something. I think there's still some life in there. I'm that one I was excited about. I've always been a Matt Moore fan, you know, talented lefty. I'm obviously a sucker for that, but I'm probably been burnt too many times by Norris to get too awfully excited about that one. Okay, let's move on. Number three is titled Who Plays Second Base? In my notes, I have a lot of options, all not ideal.
That's exactly right. I mean, obviously your opening day kind of best bat is Nico Goodrum.
Yeah.
And I think he sees.
Oh, not the other Nico.
How many Nicos do we have? So who else do we have? Ronnie Rodriguez.
I believe he's called El Felino.
El Felino.
Yep.
Yes. Sergio Alcantara.
Yep.
Or is he only shortstop? No, he can play.
If you can play shortstop, you can play second. Dowell Lugo, still around.
Dowell Lugo, who's kind of another bat-first second baseman, yes?
Yes. I think one might question how bat-first or how good that bat bat-first right. is. And obviously we brought Gordon Beckham.
Oh, Gordon Beckham.
Former rookie of the year. Lot of promise there. We also have Caleb
Maddox.
Caleb Cowart, the
two-way player.
Yeah, and
he's a middle infielder.
And Brandon Dixon is on the 40-man or on the spring training roster. I mean, he'll get some reserve minutes there.
Sure.
Yeah, not a who's who of second basemen.
Right.
Like you say, Nico is obviously the best bat there. I mean, he's going to play all over the place. There just isn't anybody in the fold that can kind of lock that position down on a semi-permanent basis, I wouldn't think.
How about Willie Castro?
Yeah.
We traded him. We got him for
Martin.
Yeah. He's close, right? He played a lot of AA last year.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
he's a prospect, maybe.
There's not exactly a ton of names keeping him out of getting a chance. I guess I don't see why not.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like that, maybe you see this year. Maybe it's a little early, but, you know, towards the end of the year, maybe you see a guy like that.
So, I mean, clearly they're looking to see what kind of pops in spring training. Do you think that there's are there any names here that you think could potentially become guys that can hold, like, are you going to look at spring training box scores expecting somebody to become a second baseman? Like, to become a guy for us?
No, I don't know. Spring training is so tough to tell. But, I mean, if a guy like Willie Castro I think that's probably him. Where if he really shows a lot, you say, oh, like, opens your eyes. Maybe he could be an everyday second baseman someday, right? But we kind of know what we have with Nico. We kind of know what we have with Ronnie Rodriguez. And I feel like, to a lesser extent, we kind of know what we have with Lugo. I mean, Lugo's young yet. He could show you something a little bit more, but maybe Lugo. But
yeah, Lugo is where I lean there. That's the one guy that I will look in spring. You know, what did he do today? I'm not expecting to see much, but that's kind of, I think he's the only option that we have that could potentially take that next step.
Okay.
Number two, the Nicholas saga, in parentheses, what are we going to do with our hashtag brand? Ben Decker at BDeck2112. What are the chances of Nicholas Castellanos being on the opening day roster? If he is, when will he get traded? I mean, that's pretty much where we're at this point, right?
So he's going to be on the opening day roster.
Yeah, yes. I mean, most likely.
Yeah, he's not getting traded in spring training now. The question is, does he get moved before the deadline? There was some controversial comments by El Avila where he said, we have virtually no interest in Nick Castellanos. There's no market for him. And people were kind of getting on Al's case for showing his cards too much, like, oh, you're doing a bad job of marketing your guy. But, I mean, to me, it was kind of like, well, he's probably just being honest. I would personally like to see them ride out with Nick and try to re-sign him. If indeed that is the truth, there's not a ton of high-level interest in him. I don't know. What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I don't necessarily think that it's irresponsible to put your cards on the table like that. I don't think there's any GMs out there that were considering him that think, oh, man, well, nobody else wants him. Like, eh, maybe right. maybe let's offer either, offer less. Like, they either want him or they don't.
Right.
But it does surprise me a little bit. Not so much that there was an interest, because he is a genuinely terrible defender at numerous positions.
Yeah.
But just that somebody doesn't want that bat in the middle of the line. Like, it is a really, really good bat, specifically another American League team. Like, you know, I don't know all the ALDHs off the top of my head, but you got to imagine he's an upgrade on half of them.
But here's a question for you.
Yep.
There was whispers even before this year that they might change the rules where they would bring the DL to the the DH to the NL. Do you hold Nick in hopes that rule change happens? Does it theoretically improve Nick's value significantly, or am I overthinking that?
I don't necessarily think that it improves his value. I just think it gives you more potential landing spots. I mean, okay. there's more teams that could potentially have the right pieces, but I mean, he's going to have to put up similar numbers to last year if he's going to bring us anything. And that's the thing is, like,
that's sad to say, because he's got no glove.
Yeah. He doesn't offer you anything but a middle of the order power bat. There's no speed. He's not a particularly great base runner. He obviously gives you nothing in the field. He's just a very one dimensional player. And that isn't going to bring you back a top, you know, 50 prospect like it used to. People are smart now.
Do you think the Tigers should work Nick out at first base?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not. I mean, the thing is there's only so many times you can shift him around. Like, wherever he
right.
I mean, he needs to be in his forever position soon. I mean, he's got to be like what, 26 now? Like, you, at that point, by the time you're that age, you need to be where you're going to play. He's never going to become good anywhere, let's be honest, but he's never going to become passable anywhere until he gets a couple years under his belt working on it and going from third to the outfield to third to he clearly needs to not be at third, but I could see his skill set playing at first. But in a more real sense, I don't really see his skill set playing anywhere.
Man, it's such a tough call. I probably just leave him in right field and let him hit. You know, he felt comfortable enough out there where he was hitting. So that's all you're doing is you're trying to find a nurturing nest for his bat, really.
Yeah, a place you can hide him. The thing is exactly. We've had some genuinely terrible right fielders over the course of the Comerica Park era. Like, he's worse.
As good as Maglio.
Oh, no. Yeah. Just, I don't know that he's substantially worse, and we're not good enough that right now it matters.
Matters, right? Okay. But he could get traded, but I think he'll stick around. I think he'll stick around all year.
Yeah, that would be nice. I could see him going at the deadline. It all just depends on injuries. There's plenty of spots out that he could land if the right people went down. And the last one, what are we going to get out of Miggy this year? Jeff Seidel wrote a piece in the, I think it was the Free Press today, that it's time to maybe move him to the DH, which is obviously a super original thought. Why hasn't anyone thought of that over the last 5 years? What percent of his starts do you think come at first base this year?
More than half. I mean, so 2/3.
That seems fair.
Yeah, because I think it'll be kind of a rotation.
So
and he'll get a fair share at DH.
Yeah, I think two on, one off, whether the off is DH or to the bench.
I think that's right.
sound like Lynn, but he looks like he's in pretty good shape. I mean, I've seen some videos of him on Instagram and stuff. Like, he looks like he's ready to roll. But he's 35 now. Like,
ancient.
The thing, that's amazing. That's only 5 years older than me, and I think of that as literal ancient. But, like, the elite Miguel Cabrera that can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to, like, not to be a Debbie Downer, but like, that's gone. But he can still be a very good first baseman, being, you know, 80% of what Miguel Cabrera used to be.
Right. And I'm not even worried about his defensive prowess. I mean, if he switches to DH, so be it. We need him to become slowly turned into Big Poppy.
Yeah.
You know, put on a few extra pounds. That's fine. You don't have to run hard to first. We need you to stay healthy, and we need you to mash the baseball. Yeah. That's what we need.
And it's not like his bat speed is really decreasing. It's just the injuries have kind of taken a little sting out of it, I would
right.
say.
Right.
And maybe if he's DHing still, that, yeah.
I think when we've seen slower bat speed from him, it's been related to injuries. I really think that.
Fortunately, he's only under contract for another 5 years, so there is five definitely years. A bright side there.
5 years.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right. Are you ready to move on to whatever you're doing these days?
Oh, man. I tell you what, Hall, I think we're going to bring back the classic. I've been enjoying Beef of the Week, but, you know, it's just so negative. I think I'm going to bring back the power rankings.
I like this choice. Everybody's
kind of wondering about power rankings. We're going to bring back the power rankings. So this week for power rankings, I have for you this. I have been watching a lot of survival shows on television. Are you familiar with these at all? Alone on the History Channel is be my favorite, but also there's like Naked and Afraid. And there's also like YouTube shows where guys go out and they just go in the wilderness and try to survive. And I find these shows very soothing and relaxing because it brings out your more primitive self, right?
Sure.
You're connecting with the wilderness, even if it's you're comfortable in bed and you're watching on a big screen. So
that's fair.
But I've been thinking about this. I've been fantasizing about myself in wilderness situations, and I've been thinking about.
So have the listeners, I'm sure.
Obviously. So I have for you the top seven and the bottom three survival items.
Okay.
These are items that you want to take with you into the wilds. All right.
Yeah. This is good. I'm excited.
Number seven is a knife. You can do a lot of things with a knife. Cut branches, cut out, you know, skin a rabbit or something. Your knife.
A little surprised this isn't higher, but yeah.
Oh, wait, bear with me.
Okay.
Number six is a pot. These are super useful. If you're going to drink out in the wilderness.
Oh, a pot. Okay. Totally different thing.
Not the marijuana.
Okay.
Not the reefer. No, I'm talking about an actual pot. So you boil up your water, you cook things in it. It keeps you healthy, get good water. You can put stuff in it. It's a pot. Number six. Number five is like a hatchet or an axe.
Okay.
You know, for felling firewood or in a pinch, you know, you can hammer posts into the ground or hack things apart. They're handy.
That does seem like a thing you'd want.
Okay. Number four is a sleeping bag, like a fancy sleeping bag. It gets cold at night. You want to stay warm and comfortable in a situation.
So this is like a camping situation, not a survival situation. Because when you fall out of a plane, you don't fall out with a sleeping bag. Especially not a fancy one.
No, this is like a long-term survival camping situation.
Okay.
Yeah, like if you're a contestant on a show or something and you're trying to make it,
okay,
you know, in the wilderness. All right. So sleeping bag is number four. I mean, that keeps you nice and warm. Got to get some sleep. Sleep's important. Number three is a tarp.
Okay, yeah.
You can make a shelter out of it. You know, you can keep you off the wet ground. You know, maybe you gather water, and it's got a lot of uses, a tarp. Keep you out of the wind.
That's true.
Okay. Number two is a fire steel, or also called a ferro rod. You use these to make fires with.
That makes sense.
You scratch them and you make a fire. Fires are super important, and they're kind of cozy. So
they are, yeah.
You boil your water. Fire is super important. Okay, number one, you have a guess?
A cell phone. Number one
is a satellite phone. That's exactly right. In my situation, I want a satellite phone so I can just call people and say, hey, come get me. Here's where I'm at.
Yeah.
That seems pretty important.
Definitely.
Okay. Bottom three, what do you think are the three, not the worst items, I want to say the most overrated, you know, because, you know, the very worst item would just be like, I don't know, one of the Kardashians or something like that. You know?
I was actually thinking maybe some like a book entertainment type deal.
Well, you know, that keeps you sane. Maybe that's important. The three most overrated survival items I have are, number three is a slingshot. You aren't hitting anything with that.
Hey, you're not
you
David.
You aren't shooting a squirrel. That's right. There's no Philistines out in the wilderness that you need to foul. Okay. Number two is a compass. You think a compass super handy. I can know where I'm going. Well, you don't have a map. How do you know where civilization is? There's a lot of difference.
To be fair, if you just keep walking south, eventually it'll get warmer.
That's true. That's a lot of walking, but yeah.
Yeah, well, it depends on where
you're playing. I want the Bear Grylls approach. Just, you know, follow the waterways.
Oh, so, yeah. Anyway.
Okay, number one overrated survival item. What do you got, Al?
I got any guesses?
Bow and arrow. Bow and arrow. They're giving these people like a recurve bow. You're not hitting jack with that. If I'm taking something, and I should have put it in the top seven, is maybe a gun. I want a shotgun.
I'm that'd not be completely convinced I couldn't hit something with a bow and arrow.
Are
we talking about
hit...
like a Robin Hood bow and arrow? Like you pull it back and you let it go? I could for sure hit something with that.
Okay, with the new modern compound bows, they're pretty sweet. You can hit a lot of stuff. But if you're talking some recurve with cedar arrows or something like that, you're not hitting jack.
Oh, no, I for sure am. I probably could do better than that than I could with the modern bow and arrow. I don't even know what the modern bow and arrow looks like, to be completely honest.
I have a fancy PSE compound bow, the single cam and the carbon fiber arrows. I mean, come on.
Those all sound like things.
Yeah, release and overdraw and all this kind of stuff, yeah. Back in the day when I was in high school, I used to work at an archery pro shop. Huh. Things you learn, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right. Let's move on to my bit. So I haven't seen anything on the side of the road because it's winter and there's a butt ton of snow. So is it okay if I tell stories about the Traverse City Mire instead?
Sure, please. This is Happenings from the Traverse City Mire. Go ahead.
So if any of you follow me on Twitter, you know that I absolutely despise the Traverse City Mire. There are constant... Okay, I'll get into it. So I had a bit of an encounter with the PR department of Mire. Are you familiar with the NBC show The Good Place?
I'm aware of it. I couldn't tell you anything about
it.
Okay, so it's about heaven, I think. Yeah,
yeah, it's funny. Winnie and I just watched all of it. So in the show, there's a good place, which would be heaven, and there's a bad place,
yes,
which is based on hell. And I tweeted that the Traverse City Mire is probably the literal bad place. And the, you know, and I obviously tagged Mire because I'm about that life. The Mire corporate account tweets me back and says, would you DM us? We'd love to hear more about your experience. I'm like, well, I wasn't going to, but you're asking me. So here we go. So, you know, I DM'd them and I'm like, I realize that you're, you know, I work in social media too. Like, I know that you're the social media manager, that you're not the ones, you know, bagging groceries and stocking shelves. So I'm going to try and be civil here. But you asked the question, so you're going to get it all. So I told them, you know, whenever we go to your Meijer, the lines are out to the close. You know, if we go at a time when there's nobody in the store, there's two lanes open and they're out to the close. If we go in a time when there's, you know, everyone in town is in the store, then there's five lanes open and they're out to the, like, it's just always out to the close. And then they, you know, DM'd me back and said, oh, that's interesting. We'll pass that along to the Traverse City Meijer team. Like, if you're not, like, yeah, sure you will. Like, if you're actually, if you're not going to do anything about it, why did you tweet me and say, here, complain to me? Like, I don't understand. So that was my run-in with the PR department at Meijer. But the story I really wanted to tell is, so you know how they have, like, the bagging carousels that, like, go around in a circle? You know, yeah, what I'm talking about? So when I'm, you know, I'm waiting for them to, you know, put my groceries in there, I'll always, like, fluff up the bag so that it's open so they can just put the stuff in. Like, I'm trying to be
a Don Kelly move, right?
Good Samaritan. Well, so I, you know, after this was, I don't know, back in the fall, I've been hanging on to the story because it's such a humdinger. But so they, you know, I go and pull out all of my bags and open them up. And then when I'm done, the lady, like, spins the thing all around and then she proceeds. Yeah, to check, make sure there's nothing in any of them. She proceeds to, like, push close all of the bags. I'm like, what are you doing? You're literally just making harder on yourself. I just did something nice for you, and all you're doing is crapping on it.
She unfluffed your fluffing.
She unfluffed it. Like, what purpose could that possibly serve?
She didn't like your fluffing.
I guess not. So anyway, that's stories from Meijer. I'm not sure. We'll have to come up with a better name for that one.
Yeah. Nightmares from Meijer.
There you go. All right, let's move on to Twitter questions.
Yeah, Twitter questions. What do we got?
If you submitted a question this week, like, and we don't read it, don't worry. We have a ton of them. So we're just going to ration
so much pent up energy.
Ration them out throughout spring training, because spring training is very long and nothing happens. So the first one comes in from Holback R. What would it take for the Tigers to re-sign Iggy?
Money.
Like, just us money to buy a lot of hot and readies? I mean, is that what you're talking about?
What kind of contract does he get?
I don't know.
Like 2 years, $8 million? No, $6 million.
I think he's
not even that.
To get a second. Honestly, at this point, I think he might struggle to get a
one year, $2 million
major league contract.
Really, that bad?
Who?
Maybe you're right.
I mean,
Chris Iatt, who is really down on Iglesias, he probably is thinking, he's on your train. He's not going to get a major league contract, which is crazy in my mind.
I mean, I guess you're signing him to be a reserve middle infielder at this point, which is something people could sign. But, I mean, nobody's looking for their opening day shortstop right now. Like, that's not a situation that any team is in.
I heard the Marlins might be a home for him. But if you're signing with the Marlins, you're not making big money.
No, they don't spend big money. And also, that would be a wildly uncomfortable tenure there. @Kenny Holmes asks us, would society be better today had Harambe not been brutally murdered 3 years ago?
Oh, get over Harambe. It's just an animal. Stop it.
He for sure, or the world for sure, would be a better place.
Do you think we're like living in a divergent timeline from Harambe? Like, you know, the political situation would be different. Like, everything would be different if Harambe would have lived.
Probably. I mean,
I haven't thought about that.
It's
maybe
a classic butterfly effect situation.
Yeah, that was the inflection point for our society.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, we reached the top, and we're either going to keep going up or we're going to start going down. You know, we shot that beautiful monkey, and it's just been all downhill since. Ashley McCrandall asks us, should there be a DH in both leagues? Something you actually brought up earlier.
Yes, I think so. And not because I'm so married to the idea of pitchers shouldn't hit, but I like uniformity. And it's so goofy to have the two league thing. Like, every out level, essentially every level of baseball has the DH, except the National League. There, I guess there's one league in Japan that doesn't have it. But just add the DH and be done with it, and we're all on the same page.
Here's my thing with this. Stop trying to kill the character of baseball. Baseball is a quirky game. The stadiums, they're not all the same. The dimensions are not all the same. Some face this way, some face... Baseball is, you know, it's been around forever. It's quirky. It's cool. Just leave it alone. Like, it being different in one league and the other, I think that's cool. Obviously, what I think should go. Let's go ahead.
How about we bring the DH everywhere, but then we bring back the Jersey D design?
The Jersey D? What are you talking about?
The Jersey D. Because, well, the Old English D on the jerseys. We got rid of that quirk. Makes me sad. Are you not aware of this?
I don't know. Honestly, because
last year, for the first year, we had the pointy D on the jersey, so that matched the D on the cap, the Old English D.
Oh yeah. You were telling me about that. Only nerds knew that, but
everybody knows that.
Sure.
Well, maybe just nerds.
Just nerds. At Bill Getchman asks us, how nice is this season going to be? AKA over under 69 wins.
How many wins did we have last year?
I don't know. Look it up.
I think we'll win. We started out kind of hot the beginning of last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we were not terrible for at least a bit.
And then things went downhill fast. I say we win the same number of games we won last year.
Okay, so we won 64 games last year. I think we are three games better this year. So still not quite a nice season.
All right.
But that's a good question. Eric Lloyd, at Eric Lloyd, has Avila answered what this kind of rebuilding process may do to Podcastiano's listenership? Has anybody asked, does he even care who he's hurting?
Think about the brand. Seriously, though, I mean, sure, I'm guessing there'll be fewer podcast listeners, but I'm guessing there's probably fewer people parking in Olympia lots. There's fewer people eating at restaurants. There's fewer people coming downtown. Like, when you had 3 million people every year coming into Comerica Park, that has to just be a whole so much bigger revenue base than what they're going to have this year. So you'd think there'd be some motivation to get good fast, isn't there? Wouldn't there be?
You would think so. But we do have Detroit City FC, which is one of the single greatest things ever hit the city of Detroit. So I'm assuming they probably even themselves.
Yeah, in Hamtramck.
That means nothing to me. I know that that's not in Detroit, but as far as the actual geography, I have no idea what that means.
Right.
David Nowoszewski asked, should Mourinho take over for Avila in the Tigers front office? Also, welcome back. No, he shouldn't, because he's spending all of his time slipping on ice and looking like an absolute fool right now.
I'm glad you could answer that question competently.
I mean, it's not really a serious question. I don't know that there is. I don't know that a competent question. I mean, it was more just a joke that he's a good and a fool. And we're finally rid of him. There's a lot of soccer questions. I tried to only pick one per week. And our buddy Jacob Skronik asked, if you could pick one player to plan a family vacation, who would you pick and where do you think they would send you? Which is a brilliant question. And he actually sent us another brilliant question that I wanted to give us, you know, some time to think on. So we'll do that one in the coming weeks.
I'm going to say Jacoby Jones, and we're probably going to Vegas and we're going to strip clubs with the family.
The first one that came to mind was Norris. We'd probably be going surfing. I'd love to know where G Money would send us, though. Probably
Gerald Laird?
Yeah, probably a casino of some sort based on, you know, his
French
history.
French port or something, yeah.
Yeah. Also, where do you think Brian Peña would send us? I don't know what the whole backup catcher thing is, but some of the more interesting.
Brian Peña's so happy, we'd probably end up at Disney. Seems like a happy-go-lucky guy.
We could do worse. So anyway, if you want to have your question read, tweet us. I think just at the show would probably be best, at Podcastianos. And if you want to get in touch with Eric or I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric. And on the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. You have an Instagram, don't you? Are you just Comeric Eric there?
Yeah, Comeric Eric, yeah.
Facebook.
I hardly post. Yeah. You can check me out.
Facebook.com/podcastianos and review us. It's very helpful. So that's all I have planned for tonight, Eric. Do you have anything else to say before we get out of here?
You know, it's like we're getting our legs underneath us again. Well, it's, you know, we're like a baby giraffe plopping down to the earth from the mother giraffe, and our spindly twig legs are finding, you know, their balance once more.
Why do I ever talk? I should just set you up to say nonsense like that for an hour once a week and just call it. That would be so much better.
That was a good metaphor, using like or as you know, somewhere my English teacher would be
that
proud
would be
of
a,
me.
A simile.
Simile.
Yeah.
I don't remember anymore.
A simile is a metaphor, literally using like or as. I'm married to an English major, so it's nice. It makes sense that I know that. All right. With that being said, we will catch you guys next week. And eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.